Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Good evening and thanks for joining us tonight. I'm Julian Grace. Well, the Federal Aviation Administration temporarily grounding Boeing 737 MAX 9 planes today after an incident forced a pilot to make an emergency landing on Friday. The order will affect about 170 planes worldwide. Let's bring in WRAL's Carly Haynes. She is live at RDU talking with people about how they feel taking the skies. Carly.
Julian, we've been taking a look at the departures and arrivals. We haven't noticed too many delays and no cancellations at the moment. But as we've been walking around and talking to people, some, they're easy, they're calm, they're ready to fly. Others, a little more anxious to fly than usual. And this is the video that's causing some of those uneasy thoughts. A window panel blew out on an Alaska Airlines MAX 9 plane over Oregon. The drop in pressure caused a child's shirt to be pulled off and sucked out of the plane. This happened 7 minutes after taking off from Portland. Fortunately, nobody was injured and the pilots were able to make a safe emergency landing. But Boeing MAX planes have had a turbulent history. They were involved in two deadly crashes shortly after their debut.
Boeing got some work to do, you know, work on their planes and make sure it's safe for everybody.
So I have no concerns at all. Like, it's not a regular occurrence and it is a little bit scary to see, but I trust my flight crew.
It will take several days for all planes to be inspected, but these particular types of planes, they're owned by Alaska Airlines, United Airlines, among others. Julian.
All right, Carly, keeping us informed live at RDU tonight. Thank you. Let's go to this. A massive winter storm is making its way up the East Coast. We're talking about this video that you're seeing here today. This is earlier out of Scranton, Pennsylvania. The nor'easter is expected to bring up to a foot of snow in some places. According to forecasters, the combination of wet, heavy snow and strong winds could create travel trouble with some power outages. New York City also has a chance of getting snow. Now, some are not so excited about seeing all of this.
I just want to be able to get to work, and I want to be able to see my friends, so I don't know, I'd appreciate not too much.
Now, some of the heaviest snowfall is expected tomorrow. We will be watching. Well, this is the same system that brought rain to our area just this afternoon. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione, he is here to talk all about it. Now, Anthony, most of the showers have moved out, but we have another round coming in a few days.
Yeah, Julian, this storm system is kind of setting up a very active pattern for not only us, but as you mentioned, New England, a lot of places here the next couple of days. Here's where that storm system currently is. We take you over the past couple of hours on loop right there. A lot of snowfall getting up into New England, a lot of rainfall. We are done with that tonight, so you can rest easy tonight, tomorrow, even into Monday, we are looking good. Our next storm system, though, is going to be more potent, I think. We take future cast ahead. Notice this center of low pressure back to the west. It is going to be very strong for portions of the Ohio Valley up into Indiana. We watch this warm front coming in. A lot of rainfall here Tuesday during the morning. I think the best chance here for some very heavy rainfall, we're talking 2 to 3 inches all said and done, would be into the afternoon. And then right when we get in that kind of between the warm front and cold front, there also is going to be a chance of some strong to severe storms. We take this into Wednesday morning and it should be out of here. But that's going to be our next significant weather maker. We're going to talk more about this in detail, Julian, coming up in a few minutes and show you what specific impacts we could see.
All right, thank you, Anthony. A Raleigh man is in jail after police say he tried to get someone to kill a man involved with the death of his mother. According to Wake Forest Police, Rhett Barlow asked someone to kill a man named Donald Clauder Jr. Back in 2016, Clauder had been involved in a crash on Capitol Boulevard. That crash killed Barlow's mother, a high school teacher named Michelle Barlow. Authorities believe the driver fatigue or distraction possibly caused the crash. Clauder was charged with misdemeanor death by vehicle and failure to reduce speed at the time. As for Barlow, he's being held on a $1 million secure bond. He is expected to appear in court Monday afternoon. St. Augustine students will start the spring semester remotely due to a broken boiler. The remote instructions will last 2 weeks as crews ensure the campus boilers are heating properly. St. Aug's new interim president, Marcus Burgess, shared the decision with the student body and faculty on Friday evening. Now, Burgess says the women's residence hall in the building is impacted, and without a working boiler, that could cause multiple issues on campus.
And so we wanted to make sure that, again, we were fiscally responsible. We were making sure that we were being humane and doing all we can to make sure our students have the best environment so they can go out and be great and achieve greatness.
Now, despite the delay in personal instruction, Burgess says no student returning to campus next week will be turned away. We have new information tonight. A Rocky Mount man is in jail after a 10-year-old was shot. This is video from the scene. It happened Wednesday night on Dexter Street. An investigation revealed three juveniles found a firearm in a house. The kids were playing with the gun when it accidentally went off and hit a 10-year-old. Police say the gun was left unsecured by the 10-year-old's uncle, James Mercer Jr. Mercer is charged with possession of a stolen firearm and failure to secure a firearm with the junior. The injured child is out of the hospital and is expected to make a full recovery. The WRL breaking news tracker was on the scene of a fire in Raleigh at a shopping plaza. It happened this morning on Leesville Road. Now, police tell us the fire began in the storage area in the back of a vape shop in that plaza. Three businesses were impacted. No one was hurt. Police say the fire was electrical in nature and no foul play is suspected. Raleigh police responded to a shooting on East Millbrook Road at around 4 in the morning. Police say two people were shot at the Checkmate Lounge and nightclub and have serious injuries. We don't yet know their names. So far, we will continue to work to get additional details. We're told there have been no arrests. We have new information about a crash on I-440 in Raleigh that killed a woman and shut down the interstate for several hours. It happened around 7:40 in the evening yesterday near Six Forks Road ramp. Police tell us a westbound car struck a tree to the right of the. Welcome back. On this date, 3 years ago, hundreds of people stormed the U.S. Capitol in an attempt to stop the transition of power from President Donald Trump to President Joe Biden. WRL's Eric Miller spoke with a local political science professor about how this event has reshaped the conversation about American politics and patriotism.
3 years later, the images are still stunning and the aftershocks still rippling from a day that David McLennan remembers as unprecedented.
We're such a divided country.
The Meredith College political science professor says the impact of January 6th is still being felt in ways both big and small, from how he teaches his poli-sci students at Meredith to potentially the 2024 election.
Lieutenant Governor Robinson has a very different view of it than Attorney General Stein. And they are competing for the governorship.
McLennan says January 6th isn't at the top of voters' minds, but it is a concern. And in a state as closely divided as North Carolina, that could have a big impact.
So I think it is part of their understanding of what this election is about, but it may not be the driver like abortion, inflation, immigration, all those other issues are.
At the same time, criminal fallout from January 6th also continues. Of the 1,200 people facing charges tied to the attack, at least 33 are from North Carolina. Those charged accused of everything from disruptive conduct to attacking law enforcement officers. Back at Meredith, David McLennan says the legacy of January 6th is still being written, and it may take a generation or longer for Americans to settle on how they feel about that fateful day.
I mean, this is more like how people view the Civil War.
In Raleigh, Eric Miller, WRAL News.
Now, the attack remains a divisive topic for candidates in North Carolina. The debate is emerging in North Carolina's governor's race. That contest could depend on Trump's popularity and endorsement. Our reporters reached out to top candidates for governor this week, including Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson and Attorney General Josh Stein and others. We asked their opinion on what happened on January 6th. You can read the candidates' statements and their past comments in our digital article at WRL.com. Running enthusiasts from across the Triangle and Eastern North Carolina braved the weather this morning for a very special 5K. Look at the action here. The Make-A-Wish Foundation of Eastern North Carolina hosted Running Outside the Lines of Make-A-Wish. The race happened as temperatures were in the 40s and the rain was pouring down in Raleigh. But for participants, it's about having an impact.
As you can see, the tangible impact of what your donation is going towards. So today it's Bennett, but there's many more kids out there that are waiting for their wish to be granted. And I love that we're able to help grant these wishes.
We just love hearing that. Now, 100% of the funds raised will go to the Make-A-Wish Foundation of Eastern North Carolina to support children with critical illnesses. There is funding available for families across North Carolina who need help with energy costs this winter. Write this down. The North Carolina Low Income Energy Assistance Program is open to eligible applicants. The federally funded program provides a one-time payment to help cover heating bills. The program runs through the end of March as long as funding is available. To see if you are eligible or to apply for funding, visit epass.nc.gov. The information is right there for you. Anthony, that rain has pushed out.
It has, yeah. Thankfully, June, we're going to see actually a pretty calm night before another storm system on Tuesday. That's what we're going to talk about here in just a second. This storm system, though, that came through today, of course, we had the rainfall side of it. We didn't really see many reports this morning of freezing rain causing big issues or really any issues across our part of the state there. Let's talk about, though, where we head. You can see, of course, all of the snowfall up into New England. They're dealing with a big-time winter storm. It's only going to strengthen as it gets out of our area. We look at where this is headed, though, around Buffalo. We can see the back edge of this toward Columbus, Ohio, but you notice there's a very thin line right there. Philadelphia is talking some rainfall. You get just north of that, right around the I-95 area, and it's a big-time difference with some snow. That pink bullseye right there, that's, yeah, over 12 inches of snowfall, even up toward Boston. They're talking maybe half a foot, a very impactful system. We are looking at a nice calm night, other than it being just a touch breezy, but I don't think it's going to be too much of a factor. We bump Futurecast ahead here into early tomorrow morning. We could start off with some cloud cover along with some patchy fog. Once we go through the day itself, though, some sunshine peaks out. It should feel pretty comfortable, and temperatures mainly in the mid to upper 50s tomorrow afternoon. Our next system, though, is something we're watching pretty closely because it is going to be more potent than this one that came through in terms of when we look at these systems, that central low pressure that kind of feeds the moisture. It kind of indicates how strong that's going to be. The center of this storm system, which right there is located back toward Iowa, it's going to be very strong. And whenever that happens, it has stronger impacts across our area in the form of wind, in the form of rain, and that chance of some strong to severe storms. We take Futurecast here to Tuesday evening, where we get in between this warm front that'll be lifting through and this cold front back to the west. What we call that, where you kind of see them meeting up, is a triple point. What that essentially is saying, right where you get along that, there could be some turbulence in the atmosphere. We could see some strong storms where you have that kind of warm air meeting up with a colder air. It pushes through and gets out of here by the time we get into Wednesday. But I think as far as impacts for us are concerned, rain and wind will be the big ones. We're talking potentially 40 to 50 mile per hour wind gusts as this system comes through. 2 to 3 inches of rainfall that could cause some flooding concerns. Those will be our big impacts in addition to the potential for some strong to severe storms. They're possible from about the triangle to the south. The best chances for those where we have some more energy to work with would be down into Florida and Georgia. But I do think with that much wind energy, if you will, in the atmosphere, we could certainly see that potential in our part of the state. So just bear that in mind. That's a weather alert day for us. We're going to be watching that closely the next couple of days. We're at 52 on our Monday, 65 on Tuesday. By the way, tomorrow's looking great too. Some sunshine, a 90% chance of that rainfall coming through. It's going to be breezy Tuesday into Wednesday. And then, Julian, we have another system as we head into next weekend. That one doesn't look as impactful, though, just some rain.
All right. Thank you, Anthony. Casey, it never gets old talking about basketball for me.
No, of course not. And it's the first Saturday in January. I mean, fire me up. It's a big day of ACC basketball. And just like that, we've got three 3-0 ACC teams from our neck of the woods. We'll start with how North Carolina was able to grind down Clemson in a top 20 matinee next. This pretty much sums up the matinee for North Carolina. A pack-a-lunch kind of a day. A physical, intense, gritty outing as the number 8 Tar Heels battled number 14 Clemson. Speaking of physical, Dabo Swinney maybe fighting with the transfer portal recently. Tied at 28 first half. Cormac Ryan comes off the screen. He drills the three. Heels up three. Ryan productive first half with 10 points. Clemson came into the second league in three-point percentage. Show for until Chauncey Higgins drains the triple for the Tigers' lead. Armando Bacot hungry for the matchup against P.J. Hall, but he kept Clemson's big guy in check, out rebounding him 16-5. Then with five to play, heels up a pair. Bacot in the post gets the bucket and the foul. He had 14 points, 16 rebounds, his 75th double-double. Bacot also moved into fifth in school history and career scoring. Carolina finished the game on a 7-0 run. Harrison Ingram drives and finishes off the glass for 2 of his 9. Heels grind out the big road win, 65-55, improving to 3-0 in ACC play for the first time in 8 years.
So it's been 8 for Carolina. For states, it's been 11 years since a 3-0 start. Knocking on the door, hosting Virginia this afternoon for its ACC home opener. PNC Arena we go. DJ Burns coming off the game winner versus Notre Dame. He was more of a decoy in this game. Not much time to prepare coming off the travel days. Virginia leading early. Blake Buchanan the slam. But Wolfpack were excellent on the perimeter from there. Great ball movement here to Dennis Parker Jr. Tied a team high, 15 points. Tony Bennett's group, though, on their heels this afternoon. Players crediting Keats' game plan. Keats said, hey, you know, we just watched some film. Former Cavalier Casey Morsell for three. Packed by 7 at the half, and they didn't look back from there. DJ Horn, the drive, state led by as many as 21. Fellows go on to win, 76-60. Depth on full display, led by one freshman who found his groove again. Pat Welter takes it from there.
You score 15 points against your home state team. I think you deserve a little heat check, but Kevin Keats always coaching, even after an impressive win and an impressive performance by Dennis Parker Jr. The true freshman and Richmond native airballed a shot late, and Keats pulled him aside after the game. Parker told me Keats said it wasn't the best shot and he should have drove. But hard to blame Parker, who was feeling it after hitting a borderline half-court shot earlier in the game. Parker, one of several NC State perimeter players to benefit from Virginia's focus on DJ Burns, a game that really showcased the Wolfpack's depth.
I'll say in my lifetime, we're the deepest team that I've ever played on. You know, we just have so many guys that can come in and just make an impact.
Just a little taste of what it kind of looks like when we're all clicking on full cylinders. I still think that we had a lot of areas that we could have cleaned up today, especially on defense. But it was just a little taste, man, of what it looks like when we're all playing good. And, you know, that's a UVA team that's been pretty good and is historically known to be really good. So just got to keep it up.
One of the things we wanted to do after Christmas was help develop our bench. I'm asking guys to buy into roles and play and take advantage of every minute that you get when you're in the game, and I think everybody's buying into that.
After Parker's half-court shot, NC State really never looked back. Kevin Keats joked it was his best play call of the year. He said, once Parker caught it, I knew it was going in. Casey.
Thank you, Pat. Number 14, Duke on the road at Notre Dame. This one just tipping off in South Bend. I'll get you a recap tonight at 10 and 11. NC Central open up MEAC play today, hosting Howard, the defending conference champs. The Eagles riding a 4-game win streak, jumping out to a double-digit lead in the first half. Jadarius Harris, he had 12 first-half points, but the Bison going a 15-3 run out of the break for the lead. But Fred Cleveland out in front takes it to the rack. He sparks a 14-0 run. Cleveland, he's going to pull up from deep here for the lead, and you can book it. Game high, 24 points as the Eagles pull away. That's a pretty big win, 73-54. And Andre Svechnikov on a tear. His three-point night last night in a 6-2 win in Washington extends his multi-point game streak to 6, the longest of his career, tying the longest streak in franchise history. Canes have a streak of their own going, Julian. They're on 5 wins in a row. Fellows look to go 6 in a row tonight as they're hosting St. Louis. Puck drop at 8. It's, of course, one of those changeover nights at PNC Arena. Always fun to watch the changeover crew go.
What is going on with the Canes? It seems like they're getting things going.
You know what? They finally found some good goaltending. They're stars. They got special teams clicking. And it happens to be at the right time, right?
Yeah, awesome. All right, thank you, Casey. And thank you for joining us tonight. Stay tuned for NBC Nightly News. That's coming next.